Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios, where my friends at Noble Gold can do for you what they've done for me. No retirements in the bank that they can steal under Dodd-Frank 2010. Diversification of your bank account so you don't get ripped off like they did in 1929, because they can take your money. You're number two. So how do you find out about it? Send me your email. All you got to do is go to davehodgesgold.com, put your email in. I'll send you out a free information packet. No one's going to harass you. They never close the deal. You close your own, and you'll see what they can do for you. And you'll go, yeah, I got a nest egg, and I certainly don't trust the Federal Reserve. davehodgesgold.com. Our guests, familiar guests. You've seen Chris many times on our show, Chris Kitsey. And we're both ex-Colorado boys, raised in Colorado, and our paths keep passing together. Not like two ships in the night. We've been involved in some joint stuff before, and I'm glad to say we're joined in something we're going to tell you about. We've been teasing the private line thing about secure communication that's really going to be needed, and we're going to tease that at the end a little bit. We're going to give some people some opportunity to help us test things out. It's going to be really, really interesting. But first, I have to say, and I can't name the source, I don't have the permission of the individual yet, but Chris and I were talking about unbridled wealth that's out there that could change civilization on this planet, not just our country, but our planet. And I've gotten confirmation from about 80% of what Chris told me in a private conversation a couple of nights ago from a very reliable source. And you would know this person if I said the name, but I don't have the permission yet. That's coming. But we wanted to bring Chris on to talk about what some people are referring to as the Great Reset. So, Chris, I'm going to kind of just let you decide where you want to jump into this topic.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me, and great
Pleasure.
to be back on your show again. What I wanted to share with people, I've run into, because I've had a number of different websites and services that have attracted lots of interesting people, and some of the people I've run into have made some pretty big claims. They've claimed to be associated with great wealth, and by great wealth, I'm talking about tens of millions of metric tons of gold. And yeah, that's great wealth, because when you look at the total gold supply, people say there's basically somewhere between 250,000 and 500,000 metric tons of gold that is known about, that's in bank vaults and whatnot. This is outside of that system. So what we're talking about is, and where did it come from? This wealth, in my understanding, came from prior civilizations. So about every 5,000 years, and we're kind of coming to the tail end of our 5,000 years. About every 5,000 years, everything resets and the civilizations die and new ones are formed from the ashes. And that's kind of where we are now. I think a lot of your viewers and listeners can feel that. But the issue is, there is this wealth. If you think about, and I've toured all over the world and visited many, ancient sites, the pyramids, Angkor Wat, Peru, all these places. And basically, they all have the same thing in common. What lasts for 5,000 years and more? And it's all stones and gold. And those are the two things that are left over. Now, I believe there's also technology that's been left behind as well. And those artifacts are actually some of the most highly valued artifacts. You will not find them in museums, maybe in the basement of a museum, but certainly they don't show it to the public. And these are the kind of things treasured by what you could call the breakaway civilization. But this gold is this massive quantity of gold has been handed down over generations and, thousands of years. And where did it come from? Well, the first place is the technology from the prior civilizations was superior to our own technology. They had space travel, they had interdimensional travel, they've had all different kinds of things, the abilities, supernormal abilities, much more advanced than what we have today. And extracting gold has always been valued, and there are a number of reasons. The Buddhists will tell you that gold is a Buddha body. The astronomers will tell you that gold came from an exploded star, and same with silver. And so they would say that gold is a Buddha body, because in the sun, the solar bodies, they consider to be Buddhas. So really what we're talking about here is something that people have always treasured. If you've never held a piece of gold in your hand, and sadly, a lot of people in our country have not had that experience. I set up something in Iceland one time. We had 2 kilo bars of gold, And this is for a project we called Gold Bits. We did that about 10 years
I
ago.
remember that, yep.
And what happened is when we were leaving there, the lady who was running the customs warehouse where we had stored the gold under lock and key, she said, "Can I hold this gold?" And I said, "Sure." So she held the gold bar and she said, "It feels soft and warm." And there is a reason why people treasure gold. One is it's shiny. Two is you've got this soft and warm kind of feel to it that you don't get with, say, steel or something like that. And what also happens is that you can make bells out of it. And when you ring it on the table, so let's say I take a $20 gold piece that's real gold and I slam it to the table, you'll hear it ring. And that's where the saying it rings true comes from.
Oh, really?
So,
I've never heard that before. Yeah.
yep. So that's why it rings true, is because it's gold. You can hear the sound of gold. So, for example, one of the tests that they use, the gold dealers use when they're looking for things that are tungsten, because the density of tungsten is almost the same as gold. So you can fool the density test. You cannot fool the sound test. And so what they do is they have a special device that they hook up to the gold and they run sound through this gold, and they can tell that it's either plated with gold, that there's a core that's not gold, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where the song Silver Bells comes from, where they're talking about why do they make the bells out of these kind of gold and silver. And that's the reason why, is because the sound is pure. People who are into that kind of thing will tell you that the sound can drive away demons.
Really?
Pure sound. Yes, that's why churches all had bells, because they are driving away the demons. That's why they turned off the church bells.
That's
Isn't it?
amazing.
Isn't it?
So
So
they
that's
play the bells to tell the people church is starting. I know that.
right. And
That
they've
goes
done
back to the Middle Ages, but you're saying it has a dual purpose, that it keeps the
yes.
evil demons away?
That's right. It drives away the demons.
Wow.
That's why it's so important. That's why the evil, when they start turning these churches into other things besides churches, whether it's schools, mosques, whatever, right? The first thing they do is they take away the bells.
You know, what's interesting is there's science behind what you're saying. And I go back to the 1960s, and you can see the videotape on YouTube, Jose Delgado emitting electric frequency to a charging bull in a bullfight, and he didn't use a cape. The bull calmly walks off. He later went to Yale and started working on epilepsy, schizophrenia, using frequency modulation to the limbic system of the brain. And then he went to work for the CIA from 65 to 2011. And this is where a lot of the psyop stuff comes from, the psychotronics. And it's interesting you'd say that. I never considered the church bells, though, but given what I know about the background of Delgado, this makes perfect sense, Chris. Well, and you're saying gold and silver can modulate emotions and behavior effectively, right?
Correct. The sound can. So the
Wow.
sound is, you know, so when you look at sound, you know, the Chinese, and you saw the show Shen Yun, right? And one of the scenes in that show sometimes is that they show that music can heal. So the ancient Chinese knew that music can heal a person. And so if you play the right frequencies and you have the right tones, it can actually help people to heal themselves. That's the point. And so that's the same thing with the gold and the silver and the bells.
Is this the first step in zero point energy on a localized level?
You know, it's a little different. It's the sound has something to do with it. So, for example, when you look at some of the cars, right, the hydrogen, the gas, the water powered cars, what they were doing is they were using frequency to help break apart the hydrogen and oxygen from water, right? So there was a sound component, and that makes it much more efficient. If you just use regular electrolysis, you're going to consume a huge amount of electricity. But with sound, it's much more efficient, and that's how they make that thing work, is my understanding. Now, I don't want to swear on a Bible that's how it works, because they'll probably come and kill me like they did everybody else, Stan Myers and those kind of people. But that is a real thing. It is.
Father
Sound has
Malachi Martin was a victim of this too.
it can be used as a weapon. It can be used for good things, just like anything else, like a knife, right? You can cut your food with it, or you can kill somebody. So.
I used to show a video back in the old days of teaching. This goes back to the early 80s when I was young and handsome. And I showed this 16 millimeter film, and it was Jose Delgado's work from 1964 at Yale. And he would change the electricity going into the limbic system of a cat, and he could make it very calm and passive or ferocious and vicious. And this is kind of what you're getting into. Behavior modification with gold and silver. Wow, Chris, this makes perfect sense. Stupid me, I should have thought of this before for application. This is absolutely amazing. Wow, this is stunning. But I want to go back to one thing you said too, because my audience will say, Dave, why didn't you ask him this question? We're talking about the wealth being, and eventually the technology transfer that goes with it. The wealth is pre-Adamic. And so I'm going to throw this out just so I ask the question, even if there isn't an answer. Atlantis, Lemuria, or Mu? I think it's probably one of the three. What do you think?
I think it could be all three, because if
Okay.
you think about it, there's, this is why, and we'll get to this here in a second. What I think is really interesting, I've actually run into two different groups that all claim to have these things, and I think both of them might. And that means that there was more than one ancient civilization, or, there's one, and then there's another one that's becoming like a limited hangout version of it. So it's like a fake version to try and draw people off of the real one. But it seems like what's happening is this is all coming out now. And the reason is civilization is at a very precarious point. This wealth, if you had this wealth from the prior civilization and you were able to hold on to it, now keep in mind, how do you hold on to it? It's not like if someone finds out where it is, I mean, this is what armies go and steal, right? They go and find the gold and rob it. And how would these people be able to control that gold for that long period of time? And my understanding is that's through supernormal abilities. They're able to hide it from people, they're able to protect it from people. And that's
How?
how they've managed.
How do they do it? Do you know that?
Well, let's say I have a cave. With a supernormal ability, I can put the front of the cave and you won't even see that there's a cave there. Literally, like it's like a holographic, that's the best way I can describe it, is like a holographic projection. But it actually goes into a person's mind. It's done in different dimensions. So we're dealing with a whole
Ooh.
nother kind of concept here.
Do you know this is biblical, Chris? When Paul escaped from prison, it was fixed so the enemy couldn't see him, and well, the shackles came off, and but he was able to walk by the guards and they couldn't see him. And the Bible talks a lot about how God protects his own, but he makes you invisible to the enemy. Is this what we're talking about here?
Exactly. It's the same thing. But it's because people are righteous, they have these abilities. If you're not righteous, if you're evil, and you have some of these abilities, you won't have them for long, because these are things given to you by the Heavenly Father. That's really where it comes from. Now, if you look at some of these other abilities, you could set it up so that you could make it so if someone does get in, there's traps and all kinds of things, and they have all kinds of problems, and these are also supernormal abilities. So fighting skills, the ability of someone to know what someone's thinking about, to read minds, all these things play into this. And that's how these people are able to do it. Now, back to St. Paul, there was another saint called St. Tecla who hung out with St. Paul. And I went to her shrine in Syria one time. She was famous for being so righteous that when the Romans caught her, they tried feeding her to the lions. A female lion came and laid down in front of her and protected her. Yes, and I completely believe that is 100% true. She was escaping from the Romans, and the rocks opened up, and you can see where this path was in Melulla, Syria, which, by the way, now is being completely overrun now that they threw out Assad. What happened is she ran down through this slot canyon that was opened up for her, and she went, and that's where her shrine is at the end of that trail. And the Romans couldn't see her. So it's the same concept that you can hide these things. You can hide them and you can protect them. And that's what I think has been going on with this great wealth for this period of time. And actually, what I've also been told by people is that there is a higher level law. So we have our human laws, which our society has and the governments make and so forth and so on. And we follow those. But there are higher level laws. Those are the laws that these people follow. They don't follow our laws. They have another set of laws that are for them and for their level. And I believe that's also playing a factor here. But the point is, with this much gold, if you have tens of millions of metric tons of gold, the person with the gold is the golden rule. The person with the gold makes the rules,
Yeah, that's true.
right? So what ends up happening is people will be able to look at this and say, what do they want to do? If you have this kind of power, what do you want? Do you want to enslave people? No, you don't. That's a low-level thing. Slavery is a low-level thing. What you want to do is you want to raise people's enlightenment. You want to raise their level. You want them to become good people. You don't want them to be bad people. So what does that mean? Well, that means that the system that is going to have to exist, and this for me is the acid test. What is the incentive? What is the motivation for why these people are doing it? If their motivation is take control of the current civilization and run it the way they want, that's not how a high-level being would think about it. They would think about how can I improve these people? How can I help make them more spiritual and righteous and improve them so that they create a better future world? That's what I would do. Now, is that what these people are doing? We don't know yet. But I think the initial signs are that one of these groups is for sure doing that, and the other group, I don't know.
I want to talk about the natural disasters and the fate of any survivors from these pre-Adamic societies. One of the things that I've been reading on, Chris, and I'm just putting this out there for speculation, I'm not presenting this as fact, but the inner crust and the outer crust move at different speeds. Eventually, at some time, the Earth stops rotating in terms of the crust, and then 1,000-mile-an-hour winds sweep. You have huge tsunamis, and it causes a mass cataclysm with some survivors. Okay, in a society like that, I'm wondering what would be the percentage of people that typically survive. They'd probably be near the equator, but wouldn't there be a fragmentation of technological survival that would not be intact? And see, to me, I think a naysayer may attack what we're saying about generational wealth pre-Adamic from high-tech society. Wouldn't they say it'd be impossible to maintain that tech society given the devastation of the cataclysm?
Depends on where they are. One of the things I've heard is that the Atlanteans had a space station with 35,000 people that survived. So it's cloaked and it's in orbit around the Earth out in space. So if something like that exists, then you've got 35,000 people, you've got spacecraft, they can come down to Earth after everything gets cleaned out and they can rebuild things. So the key is this: if you lose all of your tools, you're out of luck. You're back to the bear skins and stone tools. And that's the big disaster. That would take thousands of years to recover from something like that. But my belief is that people have knowledge of these events, certain people. They hide the knowledge, they keep the knowledge to themselves. They don't share that knowledge with other people, right? And what they're doing is they're using that, a certain group of evildoers are using that to their advantage, where what they're doing is they're telling people it's climate change and it's the CO2 that you're burning that's causing the problem, which, as and everybody listening on this show knows, is a hoax. What's really happening is you're dealing with a pole. The poles are flipping. That's what it comes down to. Now, if you go on YouTube and you look for a video, and it's actually on my blog of decodetheworld.substack.com. If you go to YouTube, you can find this video. Again, it's on my blog, but what it is they on the space station, they discovered this. The Russians discovered this. They spun a wing nut off of a bolt. So just spun it. And it keeps going out into space like this. And
Oh,
then what happens after a certain number of revolutions, it flips over. Same thing happens to Earth. That is how, when you see this video, if you've been thinking about this, now, what's the evidence that this kind of thing is about to happen? Well, the poles are shifting because the magnetic pole is different enough that they've had to renumber all the airport runways.
that's true. Yeah.
Airport runways, airport runways run off of magnetic north. So you've got air runway 22 left or whatever it is. And there's a coding system, and there is a code for the degrees from magnetic north that it has, the offset. And that has been, they've had to renumber those. So it's changed enough that they've had to renumber it. And you can find maps of where the pole has gone and where it's going, and the rate is increasing.
Yeah, I know a little bit about the science that you're talking about, because you're getting a tetrahedron effect with the oscillation of the spinning bolt. And on the Earth, here's what I learned from some. Okay, first of all, I got to go back. Bill Pollack, my mentor in this business, the late Bill Pollack, and Vance Davis, my other mentor, former NSA, still friends, they were on Art Bell some, and they knew a lot of the Art Bell scientists. And in fact, we used to have meetings in La Positas, New Mexico. We'd bring in astronauts and scientists and so forth. Here's what I learned, make a long story short, that the buildup of when you do a pole shift, and this is effectively what you're talking about, a magnetic reversal, the centrifuge oscillation point, the point of origin, is at 19.5 degrees latitude. And it's true on a star that goes supernova. And any planetary body that goes through a pole shift, it's always the same. And even galactic systems like a solar system can go through the same thing. It's 19.5 through the arc of the solar system. Have you come across that at all?
No, I haven't. In fact, I just wrote that down because, you know, what's kind of interesting is my understanding of where the North Pole ends up is somewhere north of Venezuela, maybe 19 degrees
That's a
off of
little below
Venezuela.
that. But you know where 19.5 is? It's what we call the Ring of Fire today in the world.
Right.
It's the
So
Ring
it's
of
that.
Fire, and it runs a straight line from the Pacific through Mexico City, the height of potential volcanic and certainly present earthquake activity.
Yeah, I believe that. I think that's probably correct. I mean, there are reasons why geometrically why you'd end up with this kind of a point. I'd have to go do some more research on that, but that's a very interesting thing. So you shared something to me that I didn't know about, which is and it makes perfect sense.
You know who popularized this a lot was when Richard Hoagland was Art Bell's science advisor on his show. But he wasn't alone. There were other quantum physicists, and they were the quantum nature, multidimensional physicists that would come on and talk about this. And we have slow moving mass that separates continents over time, and then we have the real quick. Like in 1988, the Russians found a woolly mammoth with undigested vegetation in its stomach in Siberia. And what's interesting about that is that means whatever transported that woolly mammoth a continent away had to happen within a 25 or 30 minute period because of the undigested vegetation. And that's how quick some of this stuff can happen. It can happen like this, but it's always ongoing in a slow basis, like South America and Africa, slowly moving apart. So that fascinating how this links to other things now. Okay, but what I'm wondering, you're saying that the Atlanteans survived in a space station of 35,000. Are the descendants of these Atlanteans, do you know if they're still in existence in orbit?
Yes, and they're also on Earth too. What I heard was that Paradise, California had a lot of those people, and that's one of the reasons why
Oh.
Paradise, California was attacked.
Oh, but you're not the first person to tell me this.
Yeah. So this is the whole thing. It starts to tie together, and then you start looking at where these artifacts have gone. So, you know, there's a museum in Gela, Sicily, that has these. They're not gold bars. They look like gold. It was a metal called aurum, and it's kind of a mysterious metal. It looks like gold, but it's not gold, and it has a lot of the similar principle, you know, characteristics to it. But it is not gold, and but it looks gold. And they use that metal, apparently the Atlanteans did, in a lot of their buildings and a lot of their you know, temples and things like that. So very interesting. These artifacts are still out there, but they're hidden, mostly in museum basements or private collections. That's where they end up. And so the people who know about this stuff, and the same thing is true with the Atlanteans, they have not told anybody that they're here. They haven't come and made a big announcement. That, I think, could change. That could change very soon. And so part of this whole thing is that when you look at the Great Reset, that's not the way the World Economic Forum calls it. That is not the Great Reset. The Great Reset is the Earth is going to flip over, the pole is going to flip, and there's going to be this chance for this potentially golden age. Now, we're going to see what happens with the inauguration. You know, everyone's hoping that everything goes smoothly and all, but you know, there's a lot of things that don't go smoothly. And I'm sure that there's a lot of things behind the scenes, like the fires in Southern California, which, you know, were set. I mean, basically everybody can see that. I mean, it's arson, the whole thing. Even people who would never say that before are saying that. So, you know, and even people like my wife, who's like, I love her, but she's like, sometimes she says, oh, you're just, you know, off there on the lunatic fringe. Now, even people like this cannot say, you know, oh, this is like caused by lightning or something else. So anyway, that's where I think we are now. I think a lot of these things are going to become exposed. People are going to start to see, they're going to start to see the true nature of evil, which is the CCP is into everything. They are literally in, they've literally gone into all of our computer networks. The CCP has gone into the banking system. They're controlling all this stuff. They're now, I just saw today, they're going to buy a bunch of VW factories in Germany. So what they're doing is they're like taking over everything. And the reason they're able to do that is they're being given bank credit. So the people who control the banks actually were the ones who created the CCP. It's that simple. And you know, there's a website you can even go, you'll look it up. You know, the Chinese Communist Party was created by people associated with the banks. If you go to forward.com and search for Mao, you'll find out Mao's China, and that's what they talk about. They say the CCP, you know, 90% of the people were from these this group. So that's what's really happening right now. The most important thing for people, in my understanding, is to figure out and discern the difference between good and evil. It's that simple. Do you follow truth, compassion, tolerance, or do you follow something else? I know all of your listeners and viewers, Dave, they're big fans of truth, compassion, and tolerance. It's a complete alignment with everything good, and I know that that's what they want to follow. And sometimes it's not easy to follow that. Sometimes it's
Now,
difficult.
listen, I hear what you're saying there, and I totally agree with you. I got a million questions. I'm having trouble formulating it. A lot of people will set up a trust. I'll use an analogy. And the husband and wife will set up a trust, and they have younger children, and they're worth some money, but they don't want to leave unbridled wealth to someone who's too young to make good decisions.
Right.
And so they wait until they might segment the income to come to them. They can meet basic expenses. If the parents die soon, if they die later, then you can kind of segment the wealth as it comes into the children's lives to protect them as they develop wisdom to handle it. Okay, that's the analogy I'm using here to go to. Is it possible that whoever's behind this has waited a long time for humanity to evolve to where it's safe enough to bestow this wealth and hope it's used for good? Where does this morality paradigm fit in?
I 100% subscribe to what you just said. It's a matter of level and level of understanding. So, primitive people, 2,500 years ago, people were basically living out in the woods, most people. There were some cities, but most people, it was not, you don't have this kind of sophisticated way of thinking, which isn't always good either, by the way, but that you have this sophisticated understanding of things like the atom. How are molecules formed? How are these levels of you know, physical creation manifested? And people have to have that kind of understanding to understand what is the true purpose of their life. And when you get to that, so you think about what Jesus conveyed to people 2,000 years ago. He was a teacher. He was here to teach us the way. And if we pay attention to what he said, and this is true of the other great sages too, like Lao Tzu, like the Buddha, they all said basically the same thing. They said, follow truth, compassion, and tolerance. And when you really drill down and you see all of the parables that were basically like instructions, once people can elevate their minds and once they can understand, now we are at a very dangerous time right now. And the reason is, in my belief, it's because of AI. AI makes it very difficult to discern things. You cannot tell what's real and what's fake. And the Chinese even have a saying. An ancient Chinese saying is, in the mud, you can't tell the difference between fish eyes and pearls. And that what that means is that the fish eyes, people can pass off fish eyes as pearls. And that is where the deception comes in. And when you, if you know any students of the Bible, know exactly who's in charge of its deception department, right? And that's Beelzebub. And that is what we're seeing right now. We're seeing the difference between these two, and that is the choice. It's always a choice. It's a duality in this place that we live in. It's a duality. Now, I think you'll find this interesting. Physics have an experiment that they actually did in the late 1700s called the double slit experiment. And it's become a very famous physics experiment. And what they found with this experiment, they had two slits and the photon, the single photon of light, that's it evolved to the point where they started with candles and then they could do it with a single photon. And the single photon had to choose between one slit or the other, and there's a detector behind it. It turned out that until it's observed, it doesn't, you don't know which one it went to. So did it go to the left or to the right? And you don't know until you observe it.
No.
Now, you think about it, thoughts manifest into reality.
That's true. Yeah.
So if you have righteous thoughts and you're having a positive thought about someone, you're not selfish, you're not thinking about your own selfish interests, but you genuinely want someone to have good things, the best for them. And that's not always, and sometimes a hard lesson is what the best thing is too. So it's not always, you're going to get money and fame and all this other kind of thing. It's usually the opposite of that. But what happens is these thoughts can manifest into reality. So that's why it's so important to have these positive thoughts about these things, not to be negative. And, why are we here? We are here to improve ourselves and help other people to improve themselves. All the people that we're around, all the people in our families, the people that we know, like I know you, we're here to try and help each other. That's really what it comes down to. And not everybody wants to do that. Some people want to be selfish and they're going to go and get, if you have good things and good wishes, you're going to get good things. If you have bad wishes, you're going to get bad things. It's that kind of thing. You do bad things, you're going to get bad returns. So anyway, that's the construct here. And when you think about it, these advanced civilizations knew these things. We did not know these things up until a few hundred years ago. And now even people haven't seen it. They understand it kind of conceptually. They may have seen a movie about it or something like that. We are now ready to graduate the school. People say Earth is a prison. I say it's a school. And if it's a school, when do we graduate? Well, when we can pass the test, that's when you graduate. And that's what we're doing right now. We're trying to pass the test.
I hear you. You know, it's interesting, Chris, and I'm going to draw what seems like two unrelated variables together. When I was in grad school in the 80s, late 80s, I learned about Eastern psychology. I took a theories of personality class, and I got exposed to the Aravaic ideas of consciousness and so forth, the intelligence of each individual cell as opposed to the cell next to it. And I started thinking this makes a great deal of sense. But let me tell you where I'm going to draw a parallel here. The source of the wealth that we know, and this is out there with another group I've talked to, so I'm not conveying discrete information. The Philippines, Singapore, and I've also been told on the border between Pakistan and India, which is the source of a lot of conflict. And it's interesting that this wealth could be concentrated in this area, but this is also where the genesis of Eastern psychology is now invading the West with mind over matter, health psychology, and so forth. We're changing a lot of our concepts away from big pharma to where, control your stress level, control your health, that kind of thing, to make it simple. And do you see where I'm going with this? That the genesis of that kind of thought process, which is advanced, comes from an area where this wealth was, which tells me this is where these societies, our society was centered.
Originally, yes, the original and from the prior civilization, because if Atlantis and the continent of Mu sank in a day, right? So the Egyptian Book of the Dead is about the continent of Mu, and 64 million people perished in one night when that continent sank to the bottom. Now, what's left from that is the peaks, are Easter Island, the islands in the Pacific, the Tahitian Islands, and those other islands. That's what's left of that great continent. And so, you look at what's left of that, and there were stone, what do you put at the top of a mountain? It's not a great place to live because water flows downhill and you want water. So you're above the water, and that makes it hard to live there. But, there were temples and there were statues and things like that. And so you still see some of those ruins from those times. But I think you're right, because what I've heard was we're talking about the Philippines, Indonesia, India, and Tibet. Those are the places. So Tibet, for example, survived the Great Flood completely. It was completely above everything. Now, Tibet is also a special place on Earth. It's where there's a lot of alien influence in Tibet. And I mean, you look at pictures of people who are like the original Tibetans from like the 1920s when people first went to Tibet and take pictures of, you look at those people, they look like they're from another planet. They look so completely different. And I'm not saying they're bad or whatever, but they look different. I mean, their facial features, their ears, everything is different. So I think there's a story here that is much bigger than what we have been told.
You're getting me thinking about reasons for different races, and I'm wondering if these pre-Adamic, or at least one of the pre-Adamic societies, is Asian by origin.
Well, yes. And, if you think about, what our understanding is, as Falun Gong practitioners, what we understand is that these different races represent different cosmic systems. So you have the yellow race, the Chinese, you have the Caucasians, you have the red race, which is almost extinct now. These are the Native Americans who are the original reds. Then you have, and of course, the Mongolians came through, and that's where a lot of Mexico and a lot of Central America and the native people came over the Bering Strait. They migrated like that. Then you have the blacks. Where did all these people come from? And what happens is that if you look at who has come to save them, Jesus came for the Caucasians. That is who he came for. And so that is who, now the message, of course, can be true for everybody in the world. And so you go to Africa. I was in West Africa about 6 years ago, and many very outstanding people there. People make all these jokes about Nigerian scammers and the prince and all this stuff. But the people that I met in Nigeria, they were like some of the finest people I've ever met. And, this is the thing, is that people have forgotten where they came from. They've forgotten where their true home is. And then they focus everything on this place. And then they focus on making money and doing all these things. But really, what we're supposed to be doing is thinking about how do we get back to our real home? How do we return to our true original self? And that, I believe, is the teaching that we're trying to do. We're unlocking memory. Enlightenment is about remembering. When everyone comes here, our mind is wiped. We don't remember where we came from. We don't remember our past lives. We don't remember any of those things. Now, if I can unlock my memory, that's going to help me to return. That is the process of enlightenment. That is the process of spiritual development. You're remembering who your true self is.
That's really fascinating. You said that they were advanced technologically. And I'll tell you where my mind goes on this. If people would take the time, and it's funny, on my Hiding in Plain Sight series on my TV show, I'm actually covering this weekend. On Cydonia, there are pyramids on Mars. But here's what's interesting. Everyone goes, oh, lights and shadows. And I say, that's a load of bull because you're looking at 45 and 90 degree angles. Nature doesn't work that way. Nature's random. And yet these structures, lights and shadows, 45, 90 degree angles, are equidistant apart and matches something on the Earth we call the Giza Plateau. Who built one, built the other. And you don't need to be a genius to look at the two photos and say they're the same. There's even a Sphinx type structure at Cydonia at the same location as we find the Sphinx on Giza. That tells me, I don't know if their point of origin was Mars or if they went to Mars to colonize it. Do you have any information on that?
Well, the information is sketchy at best. But, from what I've been able to gather is that human beings were created literally just like the Bible says, in the image of God. Now, if someone came here, if a being, a great enlightened being, a great being, God, came here and created humans, if we were something else before, we were like, this creature that didn't quite have enough intelligence or didn't quite have what it took to survive in the long term, this is given by God. There's no two ways about it. Now, would this also happen in other places and other planets? Of course it would. The universe is a huge place. Now, you look at the difference between Cydonia on Mars, the face on Mars, all those structures on Mars. Those are legit and real structures. They were created. And the other thing I'm going to mention also is that the dimension that we're in right here, that you and I are talking to each other in, there are a lot of other dimensions. We just can't access those dimensions. And it has to do with frequency and polarity. So, in other words, and that's controlled by your mind. Exactly. So, if your mind, if this is the mind over matter concept, which is the same, it's not even one is over the other. It's they're the same, right? Once you can get your mind to that point, you will then be able to access these other dimensions. And so, this is what all the great seers, you look at the saints. They could see these things. They could see things. No one believed them because they couldn't see it, but they could see.
Well, Jesus did his miracles, and then he turned to the masses and said, "This I do, and you can do more."
Exactly.
This is very biblical here, what you're saying, and it's kind of funny. You're on the backside of a second interview I've done with an individual, and the same exact topic came up. We keep coming back to this point of origin, and it's absolutely fascinating. Do you have any guess? And I know it's a guess as to why. Whatever surviving pre-Adamic society there is that has this wealth and the technology transfer that'll come with it, why they're choosing to decide how to bestow this now?
Well, if they're of that level, what they do must be righteous. It must be of that level or higher, right? So the key question is this: if selfishness is a lower level than goodness and righteousness,
It is.
which we all know it is, right? Then to have that kind of wealth, then the person must have great virtue in order to even have it in the first place. They must have not only great virtue, but they must have good understanding of their level and all the levels below. It's like a pyramid. So the reason why you see the pyramid used so often by, good and bad things is that is literally how it is. The higher the level, there's fewer things that can meet the standard. You cannot see what is in the level above you. You can only see your level and below. Because that's the level that you're at. That's the level that you're able to tune into with your mind. So what that means is that if I'm following an evil way, and I believe in ritual sacrifice, I believe in humiliation rituals, which is what the United States has been going through for the last 4 years, and probably more. If you believe in these things, those people believe it, but what they're doing is they believe in destruction. They believe the way to salvation is destruction. Now, where does that run into problems? Well, of course, beings don't want to be destroyed, right? But if you're going and destroying the layer below you, what if there's a layer above you doing the same thing to you? You end up, see, so what's happening is all these people, the World Economic Forum people, these banking people, they all think they're destroying the level below them, and that's what they're doing. But there's another level above them, and this is where I fundamentally believe that Trump and Elon Musk and people of this stature, they're the level above, and maybe they're going to do the same thing to you, or maybe they're just going to try and be good guys and not harm anything
But
because we're.
bypass the evil. I get it. This is very karmic, very karmic. Because physics teaches us for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, and when you put crap out into the world, you get crap done eventually. And history is replete with these examples of evil dictators and how they end. And I'm looking at this right now, and I guess my one concern is, listen. I know this wealth is real. Folks, listen to me. Trust me. I'm in deep conversation with another group right now, that is saying a lot of what Chris is saying. I'm saying we got about an 80% match. And this wealth is real. In fact, I can't say very much about this, but when I go back into the 90s and some of my professional activities, I knew the wealth was real then. I just didn't understand the surrounding context. And so I've known this for 30 years. I'm now getting defined properties and motives and goals, Chris. But my concern is this. They're going to come with technology transfer that loosely I'll call zero point energy, so we have a focal point of what I'm talking about. Not that it's the detailed explanation. So technology transfer, I think, is ultimately more powerful than the money. But with regard to the wealth that's coming, how do we know it can't be co-opted and used for evil purposes?
Well, they're certainly going to try and do that, but keep in mind the level of the people who are evil is lower. So they can be restrained by the people who have a higher level. And that's really how it works. Now, the question is, will they allow the evil people to do some evil? Of course they will, because that's just the nature of this dimension, is that you've got this duality. If everything was fixed, if everything was fated, karma would not exist because you couldn't do anything wrong because you didn't have any choice. So it's really that simple. What it really comes down to, the double slit experiment, is about the choice. That's what this whole thing is about. What we're
Exactly.
talking about here today is all of the people listening and watching the show, they all have a choice. If they didn't have a choice, it would already be decided, and then there's no issue of karma because they didn't do anything. Someone else did it for them, and they would get the karma.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's it. So the good news is we have a choice. What we have to do right now is to enlighten to things. We have to upgrade our thinking to these kind of things. Now, when things like AI come in, and this is one of the other things we'll talk about when we get to private line, because we're outside of the whole AI system. And the thing about AI that is, I believe, is so dangerous is, first of all, I believe that the quantum technology, a lot of that is demonic. It's literally summoning demons. And you'll hear people from D-Wave systems. There's videos on the internet that describe all this. And
CERN.
CERN, all these things, they are basically, that's what they're doing. They're opening portals and summoning demons. And what the demons will do is they'll do the calculation. They can, because they're in a different dimension, they can see the answer to your giant math problem that we can't see here. We're in this delusion world here. We can't see the answer, but other dimensions can see the answer
Yeah, because it's
like this.
hyperdimensional. Oh, you're so right on the money. This is a conversation I had with Richard Hoagland about this very thing, 15 years, 20 years ago. And you're right. The math equations that complete these processes are hyperdimensional. Unless you can get to at least the fifth dimension, you have no chance of understanding it in our three-dimensional world. You're exactly right. Boy, that's my mind is racing. Chris, we got 5 minutes left in this broadcast. I want to continue this on a part two, if it's okay with you, if you have the time. But I want to get a little bit to private line and cover that in the next 4 to 5 minutes, because Chris has done a magnificent job of setting up an alternative communications network that is basically hack-proof and will get you outside the evil system that wants to monitor and have all your data. Let's just talk about this and realize we do have a time constraint right now.
So we're super excited, Dave. We think that what we've got, I spent 2 years of my time, and as you might know,
I know that.
I had a company called Unseen, which we built about 12 years ago, right? And then what happened is it got destroyed by the evil because they disrupted the network. And so what happened is we looked at that, we learned from that, and we've created a private network. Now, the thing about the internet is that on the internet, there's no expectation of privacy because you're in a public space. So we said, let's create a private space that people can join, that we're not going to collect any data. There's no data collection that we do inside of our network. And in fact, to prove the privacy, we don't even collect your email address or your phone number.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, that's the acid test for a secure service is, for example, Telegram and Signal. They're good services, but Signal, for example, collects a phone number. You cannot use it without the phone number. Now, why do they do that? Because what they're doing is they're not collecting the information, but the metadata is going to the phone system, which is monitored, And then what happens is that, as the former head of the NSA said, we use metadata to kill people. He literally said that. So that's the key thing we're trying to protect people from and move them away from that. We don't have, there's no AI inside of our system at all. You're away from the AI. Now, you have a variety spectrum of ways that you can use the system. So what we're going to do, if you go to privateline.io, we've set this up with Dave Hodges and with his team to allow you to get a free account for now. And so the early people will get free accounts. We recommend that you are somewhat technical. And you don't have to be a programmer or anything like that. You just have to be comfortable with your computer. If you're not comfortable with computer, wait a few months and we'll have something for you. But the idea is you can go, we set up a tunnel, a secure tunnel, into what we call an enclave, which is a secure set of servers. These are done in a data center that's the most secure data center I've ever been in. These are like banks and all these kind of people are in these data centers. The way we have it set up, you have the tunnel that you set up, and then you set up the and then you install the communication software, which is a chat program, and you have a meeting program that's very similar to Zoom. So by doing that, you're able to have phone calls, you're able to have chats, you can send files, you can share files, all these things. We're going to be adding cloud services. We're going to be adding website hosting inside, so it's private website hosting. So if you are worried about someone monitoring you going to someone's website, because what we knew from a company we had before was that since 1997, I know personally the NSA has had data rooms where they collect all the information of every website visit, and every email that goes through was collected. And the email, they have, even if the email is encrypted, they have the header information. So the key is, of course, how do we protect people? How do we afford people privacy?
Okay,
Because
Chris,
privacy is
I'm
not.
sorry, we got 1 minute left. Okay. And I mean, this is great information, but can we get to where we're requesting volunteers to test?
Yes. So what they should do is go to privateline.io, go and sign up for an individual account, and in the affiliate code field, type in Dave Comp, DAVE COMP. You type in Dave Comp, and what that's going to do is it's going to zero out the total. You're going to then get a free account, click yes, and you're going to see instructions and you're going to see a QR code. Keep that QR code, write down the 12-digit number. That is your access code to get in the system. We don't collect any email or cell phone number. And that's going to get you going. And then once you're inside, we'll have instructions for you there about who you can talk to and how to go from there.
Man, this is such an exciting project. Listen, folks, this is absolutely free. If you've got computer ability at all, you don't have to be an expert. This is very doable. Stupid me got through it with Chris's help the other night. And there will be assistance. They're coming out with a protocol guide that you can follow. But it's completely secure. And we need to go to this because we got to stay away from AI. That's one motivation I have for this. The other motivation is we need to stay away from evil entities that we're fighting with every day. Wow, Chris, this is fantastic. Privateline.io to go to volunteer Dave Comp, COMP, and you'll be able to zero out the account and you'll work on this for free. And we'll monitor, the progress, and then we'll make revisions and then we'll go public with it.
Perfect. Sounds
Sounds
great, Dave.
great.
I'm looking
Chris,
forward to hearing from
I want to
everybody.
do a part two on the pre-Adamic because I feel like we're about 60% through it.
There's a lot of stuff there. And, obviously, we're getting more information every day, too. And I think that with this inauguration, we are at a break point right now. This whole civilization is at a break point. It could go one
I
way or the
agree.
other.
I agree. And this is a central part of this, folks. You're hearing groundbreaking information here. And it might take a while for this to set in about how important this conversation has been and where it's going. But I'm telling you, it trumps, pun intended, everything that's going on in politics right now. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I'll be in touch with you to do a part two. To everybody else, thank you for coming to the Common Sense Show. We'll see you all back here again next time.
Sounds great, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you.